Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Doug Gottlieb Show is live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save big on your auto insurance. It's really the best thing you can do from your phone in just a few minutes. Call 888-FARMERS and start saving today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Okay, so we got a bunch of stuff to get to this hour, including the press, everything you need to know. Lloyd Pierce was fired as head coach of the Hawks. That seems weird. Really well-respected guy, young coach. A team that they're kind of starting from scratch. Give you my thoughts on what's behind that upcoming. We got some big college basketball games tonight, including Bedlam Part 2. That's only interesting to most of you because you get a chance to see, again, Cade Cunningham, definitely a top three pick, maybe the number one overall pick, 40 points Saturday, and I think 12 boards against the same exact OU club. And Rick Bucher will join us upcoming this hour as well, and we'll get into the Lloyd Pierce following the Celtics and et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Let me start with this, though. J.J. Watt today announced that he's going to sign with the Arizona Cardinals. And what happens is we all want to do the, see, Houston, you don't know what you're losing, right? As if Houston is a bunch of idiots because a different regime traded DeAndre Hopkins. And this regime, of course, just released J.J. Watt. Now, the first thing is, if we're honest, they did do J.J. Watt a solid. By releasing him, it allowed him to be on the open market and probably get above what his value would have been. However, if they traded him, even they traded him to the Cardinals, you know, the Cardinals would have had the, hey, listen, we're either going to cut you at $17.5 million means zero or and resign you, or we can renegotiate a deal, at which point they would have had they would not have had to push the envelope in terms of how much he's worth. It's $23 million guaranteed over 2 years. That's 11 half a year. Potentially worth 15 to 16. That's way over value. Whatever you think of J.J. Watt's value, the fact, you know, all you have to do is understand the timeline, understand why stories get leaked to understand what happened with J.J. Watt. Last week, I'm trying to think, who was it? It wasn't Garofolo. I think it was Ian Rappaport who said, or maybe it was Adam Schefter, who said, you know, he's down to three teams. The highest offer is between $15 and $16 million a year. That's the Arizona Cardinals. That's what their quote unquote offer was, even if the real money is like $11.5 million a year. So this is how I read the tea leaves. I don't think J.J. Watt really wanted to go there, but I think he wanted to get top dollar. He was willing to take maybe a little bit less to go for a winner, but not that much less. And the difference was so great between the Cardinals and whoever else offered that he tried to generate some more interest by putting that number out there. That, you know, that never happens. Free agent numbers never have before somebody signs. You put that number out there to see if anybody else wanted to climb that ladder. Nobody did, so he begrudgingly signs. And the only people Houston looks bad to is, well, people on social media and on me and watching media types. Because the truth is he's missed, you know, like over 30 of the last 80 games as a member of the Texans. Part of ability is availability. Availability. And he hasn't been often available. So he put it out there. He wanted a similar or better offer. He couldn't get it. He took it. But you know what I don't want to hear? I don't want to hear that he wanted to get out of the Texans organization because he wanted to win. He wanted to get out of the Texans organization because he wanted to win. And that sounds really silly to me because he's not going. Will he win more? Yes, he'll win more than he won last year, but will they win more than he won when he was with the Texans previously? No. Remember the previous year, they're up 24-0 on the Kansas City Chiefs. They've been to the playoffs several times over. And that's what the Cardinals are aiming to do, but something they haven't done. When you take top dollar as a free agent, when you go to the highest bidder, you're telling everybody, look, winning may be important-ish, but it's not really important. So what I don't want to hear from J.J. Watt, or I don't want to hear from U.S. fanboys is, J.J. Watt was tired of playing and losers in Houston. No, he wasn't. He wanted to get paid. And they were done paying him top dollar, and they found somebody else to pay him top dollar. Okay, we move on. That's no different than any other, almost any other veteran free agent with a huge name. The name is greater than the actual player and how the player still plays. Period, stop. That's it. The name is greater than the actual talent. And if everybody, it's almost as if in the NFL, if everybody knows you, it automatically means you're past your prime. It takes so long for everybody to get to know you. By the time they do, it means you're past your prime, especially at a position like outside linebacker or rush end. If you've been a stalwart at one program and you've been oft injured, and you come to the Cardinals, you're telling everybody, hey, look, the truth is they offered me so much money, I couldn't say no, which is fine. But it goes counter to what we heard about, well, J.J. Watt doesn't need the money anyway. He just wants to play for a winner. He's got enough money. He'll do whatever it takes to win. No, he won't. Everyone says they'll do whatever it takes to win. Oh, man, I'll do whatever it takes to win. Okay. Will you get up and train every morning at 5 a.m.? Why do I got to train at 5 a.m. in the morning? That doesn't make any sense. I can train in the regular day. I got plenty of time. No. Would you said you'll do whatever it takes. If I said it takes a little bit more than what everybody does. Well, a little bit more. How do you mean there? No, now you're putting boundaries on it. If you're willing to do whatever it takes means whatever it takes. People say that all the time. Oh, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be a great radio guy. I saw Jane Slater today getting ripped because a friend of hers had some opportunity to work for unpaid interns. And you got social media like unpaid interns is such a joke. Like, look, if you're willing to do whatever it takes, you're willing to do whatever it takes. And if you aren't, you aren't. Period. Period. When I was at ESPN, I started there in 2003. Yeah, I started there in 2003. So I had been there for like a year and a half. And I got off, I think it was 03, 04, 05 is when the ESPNU launched. It's either 03, 04, 05 or 04, 05, 06. I can't remember. Somebody can look it up. Anyway, there's a gentleman named Mark Shapiro. Mark is now second in charge of Endeavor, which is, if not the biggest, the second biggest, I think it's the biggest agency in the country, right? They own UFC, but he's also, I mean, that's like their agents as well. They own everything. Them and CAA own everything. Anyway, Mark was running ESPN. He called me in and he said, hey, I want you to go to Charlotte for a month. You'll do basketball shows. And that's it. And he started trying to say like, well, I know it's not going to be on in a ton of places. It's a new network. I said, I'm in. He said, I'm not going to give you any money. No, I'm in. And the thought at the time was, look, I want my next contract to be a big contract. I want to take a big jump. So if I nickel and dime this guy for money for every appearance, I will likely lose the gig. Where it's more important to have the gig that only those people, like the rest of the world didn't watch ESPNU when it launched, but everyone who was important in Bristol did because it was their new network. So we went down there and I worked for 3.5 weeks and it was awesome. I didn't get a penny extra. I stayed at like an extended stay hotel. It wasn't very glamorous. I did get per diem. And I got my flight down there and I got several flights back. So I'd come back and hang out with my wife on the weekends. But the idea was I wanted to win or I wanted the money. I wanted the big payday. All right. What are you willing to do it? I'm willing to, it was essentially doing extra for free. And that was fine by me because I knew what ultimately was about, which is the same thing as I would say with NFL football players. If you're if you're J.J. Watt and you've accomplished everything except win a championship, why would you go to a team that's not going to win a championship? Unless all you want is money, which is fine. But please don't tell me it's about anything other than that. Everybody says they want to win. Everybody says it's about winning above money. And then it appears pretty obvious who's really about that and who's not. It doesn't make it the worst thing in the world. It just makes it what it is. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like they're cramming a full year's worth of cash back into one of those cash-shaped birthday cards. Cashback match only by Discover Card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover something brighter. Bizarre firing in the world of the NBA. What's that about? We'll discuss next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios, call 888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance. Man, there's a lot to get to here. Whew. Ooh. So Lloyd Pierce got fired. This is like, the NBA is super interesting. It's interesting because the actual play on the court is not that interesting. But the off the court, we'll find out what's behind that. There's a discussion in the world of sports that continues to go on to no end. And I'm going to put an end to it really, really quickly. Okay, I'll put an end to it really quickly. And I'm going to divulge some details that I don't know, like my kids don't, I'm not going to say anything about now, but 18 years ago, whatever. David Gascon. You went where to go to school?
San Diego State for undergrad and then Northeastern for grad school.
Okay, so you went to grad school.
I did.
Look at you. You have an MBA or what do you have a master's in?
Master's in sports management.
Master's in sports management. Your first job out of school?
First job, we worked with a colleague. I worked for Petros Papadakis' dad at his restaurant, Papadakis Taverna in San Pedro.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your first job in the media?
First job, I worked for an affiliate in San Diego, Extra Sports 1360 in San Diego.
Okay. I know it well. What were you doing?
I was a lowly board op, $10 an hour part-time.
Right. Okay. So had you done any on-air work when you were in college?
Negative.
Okay. So why did you decide I wanted to be a board op in San Diego?
Well, that was the only way to get in the door. I lived here in Los Angeles at the time, and I did part-time unpaid grad work in Los Angeles and didn't have a lick of experience on air. And so I took the first job I can get.
Okay. And then you eventually got on air when? When was your first job on air?
6 months in, I became the game day host for the San Diego State Aztecs because Steve Quist, who was a host and a play-by-play broadcaster, was doing other things on Christmas Day. So I was the game day host when the Aztecs played in Hawaii in one of the Honolulu Classics.
Hmm.
It was actually the same day that Joe Flacco threw a deep touchdown pass over Raheem Moore's head to break the backs of the Denver Broncos. So,
huh. Okay.
Making you
How much did that make?
I made $350 for doing that.
$350 a show?
No, just for that show. That was the only thing I did until I became the game to host the Chargers. So I had the one opportunity and that was it.
Oh, just one show, a one-off show.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when you're the host of the Chargers, what'd you make?
I made $200 for the entire day, and I worked a 14-hour day.
First of all, I just encourage all of you, don't go to journalism school. There's no money in it.
None.
And there are people like me who are making money in it, and it's been a great living and a great life. I didn't actually go to journalism school. I'm not – like, look, if you – well, it's a better thing. If you want to go to journalism school, don't go expecting to get some big payday. It's the exception, not the norm, right? If you want to do it because it's what you have a passion for doing – don't expect, like, when we were kids, it was you want to be a lawyer or a doctor. Now it's like going to finance, dude, if you want to really make a killing, or maybe going to sales if you want to always have a solid, like there's lots of salesmen who listen to the show. They're driving another car. They download the podcast. They download the All Ball podcast, right? Like there's a, I think if I wasn't doing this at this point in time, I'd be doing something in sales, maybe something in real estate.
Not coaching?
Or coaching, yeah. Coaching would be the other thing. And I still like, I would maybe double dip. Like I just, I, you know, if I was in real estate, I would, or pharmaceutical sales, if I could do it, I would do it and coach at the same time, right? If I get into major coaching, I would do that too. But my point is, so Jalen Johnson, you know, basically quit on Duke, and we get in this whole like, well, anybody who's negative about Jalen Johnson, you're commenting on unpaid labor. And there's some professor at Duke who said, you know, all these people who are commenting have built a career commenting on unpaid labor. Like, first of all, it's just so disingenuous. None of these kids could get into Duke without the help of playing basketball. The entrance into Duke is, it's like part of Skulls, right? Then the school itself, it costs 70 grand a year. That's post-tax. Okay, nobody pays the full boat. Fine. 50 grand a year. That's really about 90 grand pre-tax. Okay, I can't afford to send my kid to a 90 grand a year school. I don't know about you, and I make good money. So you get into a school you couldn't get to, you get to, and that's not even counting all of the sports benefits. And the idea that what happens, the example I will use is of myself, but it actually mirrors that of Zion, right? Zion was a thing anyway with YouTube, but when he kind of co-branded with Duke, with Duke's brand, he blew up to where he was, you know, he already had these marketing deals, so much so that he got sued for one agent, using one agent, and then flipping to another one. Because the power of the brand, as we talked about a couple hours ago with Cade Cunningham, the power of playing for Duke, though, is ridiculous. Duke is a scholarship for life, not just at the school, but in life in general. But here's the easiest example to people like, well, you're not paid when you're, you don't, what's the benefit of it? Like, what's the benefit of it? Okay, first I get into a school I couldn't get into. I get a school completely paid for. I get great training. I get a great lifestyle while I'm there. Now you get cost of attendance, which means you get money in your pocket. Like there's literally no negatives at all. But the real payout is in the rest of your life. For example, when I tell people this, they always crap their pants, right? My first job, and I'd filled in on radio. I filled in like you did. So when I got done playing, I was bouncing around trying to play. I was supposed to play in Italy for a team that played in Russia. Then I was in the CBA. I was in the IBA, the ABA. I played in Israel. When I filled in for a guy named Jim Traber mostly. Jim's the afternoon host in Oklahoma City. He's a dear friend of mine. And I got paid $100 a show. And if they would do remote, I would get $200. So that was pretty good. When I negotiated my first contract, what happened was I got offered a deal to do, I think it was a minimum of 12 games at ESPN. So in order to try and look, I wanted to get into the media early because though I liked playing professional basketball, I didn't know if I could do it for 10, 15 years, but I was only willing to do it if I didn't take a pay cut. So I factored in what I was going to make overseas. And then I said, okay, here's what I make from ESPN, just calling 12 basketball games. How do I even it out, make it work if I stay stateside? And I made 60 grand my first year, just that's before endorsements and appearances and remotes and whatever. And people who do radio hear that, like, that's obscene. It's an obscene amount. Most people start at $10, $15 an hour, talking 20, 25 grand a year. And yeah, you know why? Because I played and I was a well-known commodity as a player and that had value. That's where it all works for you. And we all deny all this stuff. Like, what are you even talking about? People who say this that are professors that talk about like players getting used and abused, like pay attention, pull your head out of your backside. Dude, it's the best life. And then when you get done playing, you got that in your resume and they already know who you are when you walk in the door. It's a chosen life. It's great. And all you got to do is play a little hoop. Oh, it's a dream. Well, they overwork you. No, they don't. Because most college students who aren't playing sports, they have to work in order to make ends meet. You don't have to work when you're playing college sports. Do you know why? Because you already get everything taken care of. And now you get money in your pocket. It's like, well, the hours are bull. I lived it. It was enough hours where I still went and worked more on my own. Not enough, but more on my own. And that was on me, not on the what was asked of me by my coaching staff. And I worked some. I tended bar at Willie's Saloon in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Go ask anybody. There's plenty of time to do all these different things you can do. Everybody's got girlfriends, right? Everybody's got a life. I mean, it's an obscene, and it's the exact same argument that people are using against Jane Slater. Like, how dare you promote unpaid labor? Like, dude, what do you think you are when you're a college student and you're helping, and you're a grad student and you're helping your professor with a paper? What do you think happens there? What do you think what happens with every college student? Like, college student, you pay to go to school. Right? And then to get in, a lot of times you got to pay for a tutor or pay for an SAT prep class. You know, like, all of these things cost money, and maybe it gets you into the school that you want. Then you got to start paying through the nose. Then when you're there, and then the second you leave, they ask you to pay more. Hey, why don't you give a donation? You just graduate. Like, whoa, I haven't even reaped the benefits of it. So we completely lost track of how all these things work. And if you think that it's only about sports we're talking about, it's not. Everybody starts one place. You earn your way. You show yourself. Some people hop in line, skip steps. Some people hop in line, they're not really, really ready, and that gets exposed as well. And like Jane Slater, who's a nice woman, she covers the Cowboys. She has the Two Boys and a Girl podcast on the Herd Podcast Network. All she did was post something about an unpaid internship, and people lost their mind. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, is Rick Bucher there? Yeah, he's there. Rick Bucher joins us. You can see him on Fox Sports 1. Buke, why was I know Atlanta hasn't been good, but why was Lloyd Pierce let go?
Well, essentially because they had high expectations. They spent a lot of money on this team. And they were supposed to make a significant step forward. And if you look at the way they've played, I mean, it really has been head-scratching. Not a whole lot of teams are playing with great defense. And defense has been absent. I think you and I have talked about it previously. But they in particular, and I haven't even looked at where they are overall defensively in ratings, but I just in watching them anecdotally, they just always looked a step slow. They didn't look like they had a whole lot of energy. Didn't look like they were playing. They'd ever found cohesion. And so I don't even put any of that on Lloyd Pierce. It's simply when you have a team that you put a lot of money into and it's underachieving and you have a head coach who you haven't put a lot of money into, it's really easy to make the decision. Let's see if we can get a little more something out of our team by changing things up top.
I mean, am I wrong to think this is the Trae Young factor, right? When Trae Young it's not just that he's a bad defender. He doesn't try oftentimes, and that drives his teammates crazy. It hurts their cohesion. And then offensively, as talented as he is, and he's an amazing talent, you kind of got to play his way and then just wait for the basketball and it drives dudes crazy. I, by the way, if you go back in the draft, I predicted this, that whoever, because when you're drafted that high and you're that skilled, you're going to play right away and you can't really win that way, and ultimately brings down the coach. Is that too harsh on Trae?
I don't think it is. They have a crisis in leadership. That's for sure. Trae Young by default, because he's probably the most heralded player by default, I guess people would look to him as the leader, but to your point, Your best player, if he's your leader, your leader has to be your hardest worker. And ideally, they're all one in the same. And not to say that Trae doesn't work hard on his game, but I don't see him expending ultimate energy at both ends of the floor. And so as a result, if you're going to gain the trust and the respect of the Gallinaris and the other veterans that they brought in there to take the next step up, then what are you going to do? And I can't help but feel that Rajon Rondo being there Yep. And his influence in terms of what they what he knows about playing point guard and what they need out of that position, that was an influence on this situation as well.
Do you think a good or a bad influence?
Obviously a bad influence for Lloyd. I just think that Rajon has a very defined way of seeing the way things should be and is completely unafraid of calling out when it's not on. And I don't know definitively who and what he called out. I just know that Rajon, if something's not copacetic, if somebody is being given too much leeway or respect or is not doing things the right way, he will not hesitate to say, this is not going to work.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What do you make of the Clippers kind of bizarre loss and just kind of some weird showings?
Well, I hate to pinpoint this, and I've been talking about this. I do not like their offense when it runs through Kawhi Leonard. The ball sticks way too much. They play way too slow. I honestly feel as if he needs to get back, and I don't know if there's anybody who's big enough in that organization to, or whether the team collectively can get him to buy into this. But he needs to be the defensive player he's capable of and leading them at that end of the floor and allow Paul George to be the orchestrator at the offensive end. To me, they play much faster. They play with a better rhythm. Everybody gets involved. I like the flow of their offense. With Kawhi, it's always like if he can get to his spot and he can win his matchup, then all is good. And, you know, they kind of go back and forth. It's not as if they don't play through PG or get a steady dose of that. But there are times where it's like Kawhi's trying to live up to I am LeBron. I can dominate the game at both ends, and he's not the playmaker that he is or that LeBron is or even that Paul George is in my estimation. And so that I think the delineation of responsibility has to be shifted, and without it, then they lose their, and it's with a lot of teams. You know, when guys don't feel involved offensively, you don't get nearly the same contribution at the defensive end. And it just, I see it being too focused around Kawhi and it's not feeding enough mouths for everyone to be happy.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The Lakers were struggling without AD and without Dennis Schroeder. They get Schroeder back in, and I guess one game in, all is well.
Two, right?
He played two. Let's start with the Warriors thing. Steph says, you know, people are taking out on us because we used to kick everybody's butt. Yep. Are the Warriors still a team that people get up for?
Well, not so much get up for, but look, I can't help but feel like the Lakers didn't get up for them when they played in mid-January and ended up losing that game after leading by 14, that they took them too lightly. They weren't going to allow that to happen again. I do think there is a certain satisfaction and that people were reminded of all the flexing and the shimmying and all the stuff that really bothered them when the Warriors were on top. The Warriors having found a little bit of a groove here, we got to see that again. And so I think that renewed the desire to make Steph and Draymond, being basically the only leftovers of any significance from the championship years, to kind of put them back in their place. So I think there is some of that. Keep in mind, Steph didn't play last year, so they never got that revenge on him a year ago. I don't think it's full bore the way it was at the beginning of last year when we saw them getting smashed their first couple of games. But I do believe that that's still an element. The other part, though, simply is the Lakers, you know, were getting beat up pretty good last week. They get Dennis Schroeder back and are able to find a little bit of a groove. And so it was a perfect storm for the Warriors to suffer the way that they did. The Lakers had three things that they wanted to put to bed with playing the Warriors on Sunday, which is One, proved that Dennis Schroeder is important to them. Two, they didn't deserve all the dragging that they got last week. Actually, those are combined. Two, that they slept on him when they lost in mid-January. And three, we'd like you to feel what it was like when you were beating everybody else up.
Rick Bucher joining us. How do the Celtics get fixed?
Overhaul the roster. And, I mean, look, they don't. Marcus Smart is a very valuable, important piece for them. He is, I don't know, you know, heart and soul, but he is a catalyst in the life. He's an emotional catalyst. He is their Draymond Green, and he's also arguably their best playmaker, who can also defend at the other end. Kemba Walker can be a playmaker. He's taken advantage of defensively, and especially with his wonky knee at this point, he's not able to do the same things even offensively that we're used to seeing Kemba do. But they lost a lot of size during the offseason. It's just not a very well-constructed team. And for two talents like Jason and Jalen, they're kind of duplicative. So you got a lot in one area, and then you're missing a lot in other areas. And they have a mediocre record, and I'd say that overall they're a mediocre team. What is the strength of the Boston Celtics at this point, other than they have two talented wings? I couldn't tell you, but the way the game is being played right now, they don't have anything that stands out to me. So they're deservedly where they are. I don't see this changing significantly unless they redo that roster significantly.
Kyrie wants the NBA logo to be changed to be Kobe Bryant. I don't want to kill the messenger, but it's really hard when the messenger is the same guy that said we should start our own league. He's the same guy that told people not to play in the bubble. He's the guy that said I want to stay in Boston if you'll have me, and then didn't want to stay in Boston. He's the same. Like, he went on sabbatical this year without telling his coach. Like, he's that same guy. But in reality, like, Kobe Bryant's taken on this mythical status now. Chance it happens is what?
Zero. There's no chance. There's no chance that the logo. I mean, first of all, we've somehow taken the idea in that the logo, that Jerry West was selected as the logo of the NBA.
Right. It had something to do with it had some sort of racial implications when it had none. Right.
Yeah. None. Yeah. And that they specifically, like, they may have utilized the silhouette of Jerry West, but it wasn't like they said, we're going to make Jerry West the logo of the NBA. It wasn't something that was that he was anointed the logo, that they took an individual and it was some kind of award or acknowledgement or achievement, which is essentially what Kyrie Irving is making this out to be. Now, I don't have a problem with updating the logo or changing the logo, especially since they're going from Spalding to Wilson as far as the official basketball. So if there was a time, it might make sense to do that. But to give it to one particular player, look, Kyrie is one of those guys, and I don't know if you have – I have a friend of mine who's like this, who you're having conversation, and he's always the guy who goes, you know, but what if – you can be talking about something. You go, yeah, but what if we did this? And you think about it, and you go, that's kind of interesting. And then you think about it again, and you go, yeah, that doesn't really work. It's not – you know, it's interesting, but it really doesn't mean anything. But it extends the conversation for another 5 minutes. That is Kyrie Irving. If you think about some of the things that he said longer than 5 minutes, you realize, okay, I can give you a dozen reasons why that doesn't make any sense. This is one of them. And I mean, for the league, it's just problematic on a number of levels. To me, it would be melancholic for me every time I saw that logo. I don't know that as a business you want your logo to be something that makes people sad or wistful or melancholy. And I would think for a healthy number of NBA or NBA fans that that's how they would feel. And then I hate to bring it up, but
yeah, but you have to. Everybody knows, right? There's the Colorado, right? You just can't.
Checkered. Yeah, there's that. I mean, you just can't. As much as you would want to, as much as he rehabbed his image as much as you could say, well, that, you know, it was it was in criminal court. It was, he was found not guilty. You just can't. The NBA can't. And so that's why I say there's 0%. And that's why, like, Kyrie continuing to beat this drum is a little weird to me. And even, one of the broadcast partners had a whole show about, like, bringing Jerry West on. Like Jerry West gets to decide. Hey, how would you, Jerry West, how would you?
And what are you supposed to say if you're Jerry? What are you supposed to say if you're Jerry West, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I want to keep it. I want to keep it.
Yeah, or other than say, well, you know, like, I didn't really have a choice. Like, I didn't decide that people were going to connect me with the logo. So, this thing's become something kind of bizarre. And it's just,
I think it's like a rare likable thing that Kyrie, like, it's almost like, remember, like, Trump would find something that people agreed with him on that would track well. And it's like the flag thing. The flag thing wasn't a thing anymore. Yeah. It can kind of gone away. And then he calls out NFL players because he thought it was a winning argument, right? Well, I finally got a winner that people will get behind me with. That feels like Kyrie here, where so many things he said and done, people have panned. This one, there are at least a segment of people like, you know what? That might be a bad idea, even if it's never going
to
happen.
Well, I think with Kyrie, he just wants to be thought of as an out-of-the-box thinker. Like, I'm going to propose things that nobody else has thought of, as if nobody else had thought of it. And the reality is people have thought about it, and then decided there's no real reason to go forward with this. Kyrie just likes he likes messing with the conversation. There's no fault in that. It's just, at some point when there isn't real grist to what you're saying, it's really easy to put it to the side and go, okay, there goes Kyrie again.
Yep. Yeah. Rick Bucher, FS1. Buke, great stuff, dude. Talk soon.
You got it, Doug.
Could we see more fans in the stands following the All-Star break? Find out next in the press.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. We got a bunch to get to. We're broadcasting live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 888 Farmers. You could save a whole lot of something on auto insurance. Let's get to the press.
The press.
David Gascon, what do you got?
Life update, Doug. Straight from Twitter. Alvin Kamara tweets out, okay, so I've been breathing Montana air for a few hours. I just want to say, I bought a house. I live in Montana now. Leave me alone.
Look, I mean, I've been in Utah most of the last week. I'll go back later this week.
Yeah.
I told people that Boise is the coolest city you're never going to visit. Mm-hmm. It's amazing up there. Now, it's cold, but it's incredible.
Are you a boarder or do you ski?
I can ski. I don't. I haven't. I may go this week. Right. My son loves the snowboard, so I got to take him.
Nice. All right. Speaking of real estate, LeBron James putting up one of his houses here in California. Massive price, $20 million. It's one of the Brentwood houses that he has, according to TMZ. Purchased it a few years back in 2015. 9,500 square feet. It is in Brentwood, so it is just a couple blocks away from that infamous house where O.J. Simpson, Nicole Brown, and Ron Goldman.
Yeah.
Well, he bought a house and he's moving to Beverly Hills, right?
Yep.
Which is weird because it's further from the beach, and I don't know. I thought Brentwood's more the place, but also weird. You know, his kid goes to Sierra Canyon, which is a schlep from both.
Right.
Look, if I know real estate's pretty good wherever you are, you have no concept of how good it is right now in California.
Right.
None.
Piping
so
hot.
I don't even know what he bought it for. He probably bought it for like 10 and sell it for 20. Yay. Or some crazy thing like that.
Last one, Tom Herman making his way from Texas, and he's got a brand new job with the Chicago Bears as a special projects coach, whatever the hell that means.
Okay.
Okay, cool, hook him. Right? Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
We broadcast live today from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Excited tonight to watch Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. If you haven't watched Cade Cunningham, could be the first overall pick. And after the show, I'm recording a pod with Andrew Bogut, the former number one overall pick. Did you know that when he was traded from the Bucks to the Warriors, that the Bucks said you could include Steph Curry, and the Warriors decided, nah, we'll hang on to him. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.